All right, we are back. By the way, the number now, this is the latest I got as of an hour ago. 48,000 plus PSEG Long Island customers still affected. Most of them in Nassau, by the way. And on top of all this, we got a heat advisory in place for that section. PSEG said, I thought it was 30,000. That was as of late yesterday afternoon. 48,109 customers as of 6:30 this morning. Unreal. Here to discuss the fine assemblyman out of District 2. You know him well, Anthony Palumbo. And we say a very good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. But outraged. I'm outraged at 8:02 on a Monday morning. We're still talking about the fact that Long Islanders are still without power. And I'm outraged because, you know, I had the president, the chief operating officer of PSEG Long Island on with us on Friday, Dan Eichhorn. And, you know, everybody will have that power on Saturday by end of day Saturday. All that turned into Sunday, and that's turning into right now as we speak. You know, to me, it's unacceptable. You know, I was somewhat flexible in the beginning, but you cannot state the fact you're going to have everybody on and 50,000 is still without. Unacceptable.
You know, we said this last week, issued a joint press release, Assemblyman Thiel on the South Fork and Senator LaValle and myself, that, you know, this is unacceptable. And exactly like you said, I think everyone feels the same way, that we've got all these extra surcharges and millions of dollars in the, quote, storm protection fund, and I didn't see a single license plate from out of state, right? You remember in Hurricane Sandy, we had Indiana, Pennsylvania. We had trucks from everywhere because the logic, obviously, was that we can all help each other or we can subcontract and pull in other utility companies or other subcontractors who can help us out. Forget about even the computer system going down. That's just the most outrageous thing, that people couldn't get through. We were inundated with calls, as you can imagine, in my office, that you know, people on my cell phone, friends calling, friends with a farm, saying we don't have a pump to get water to feed our livestock and to at least give them a drink. We're going to lose livestock. They're going to die. This is outrageous. How many days does it take? You know, it was just a long-standing. It's been a problem, obviously, that you know, these guys, they send out enough mail. They spend thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on mail that we're ready for you, just to try and keep up their public image. But when push comes to shove and the actual storm hits, and this wasn't a Hurricane Sandy, Jay, right? This is a tropical storm, not to minimize it too much, but this didn't devastate and rip houses off the foundation. This didn't devastate the area with flooding and all the other issues. This was high wind. And the fact that now we're a week later, and it's just completely unacceptable. And quite frankly, I'd like to know as well as you, as I heard you say earlier, that, you know, what are they doing with all this money? Why don't they just have a crew and teams of assisting crews ready to roll? Because I'm sure, and look, this has nothing to do with the guys and gals who are on the front line slugging it out. They're hardworking people, and they've been up for 24 hours a day. So it's not them. And that's what I think people need to understand as well, because some people, after I issued that press release, were going after the three of us, the senator and myself and Assemblyman Thiel, saying, look, you know, what are you guys doing? They're hardworking people. This has nothing to do with them. Of course they're hardworking people. They're actually slave laborers at this point because they're working around the clock. It's the administration. It's the people higher up who haven't prepared for this, because you can't have a small crew of, you know, your regular crew, which to handle a huge storm like this, number one. And number two, how did they not already test their communication system that was supposed to be state-of-the-art? It's so infuriating that I've got people now, and not only just people who are uncomfortable because they can't have their air conditioning on, I'm talking about people who have other health conditions. I have a buddy over in Sound Beach who was out for a week, and he, you know, struggling with serious health issues. And in this heat, it exacerbated it much further to the point that they had to go get a hotel room. I mean, this is nuts.
It is nuts, especially when you're spending money. You're telling us you're spending money. You know, you're fixing this this outage map, which didn't even work either. I don't want to hear the fact you had so many cases, they couldn't update it properly. You're spending $1 zillion on these new meters and everything else. I proposed to ICORN, let's bury the lines already. You know, how much is it going to cost? You've already spent $1 zillion here. Bury the line already. My goodness. You know, we have so many old trees in and around the island. You can't cut down every old tree. You can't cut down every tree. What about burying the line? When are we going to, like, get into the 21st century already? And I don't want to hear about the cost. You already take it out on Long Island as far as everything else is concerned. I mean, I've had my battles with this utility over the surcharge and the fuel charge and the delivery charge and that charge and this charge. You know, I mean, come on. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's silly.
You know what, Jay? I equate it to the way that Bill de Blasio and the mayors have been handling the MTA. That the infrastructure is an absolute disaster, but they can continue to throw hundreds of millions of dollars every year maintenance to it. Maintenance, maintenance, maintenance. So another area fails, and everyone just accepts that there's a reasonable degree with what they'll say. There's a degree of track maintenance and problems that we all just kind of live with. But it's a one-time big expense. Think of what's spent not only on the cleanup and what we're dealing with now, but on just the tree maintenance. You see them all year, up and down the street, cutting new branches, cutting things out of the way to try and create what they think is going to be a better situation in the event of a storm. And then we have a storm, and we've still got hundreds of thousands of people or tens of thousands of people out of power. So we've actually called for an investigation, and I know that this is being considered now, that we're going to put hearings together just to see. And again, this is similar to the nursing home issue with the governor, how everyone seems to be pointing fingers, but we don't really have answers. And we're not going to have, like the governor had his own department investigate
his
own people and issue their own report that we did everything right. I mean, a real independent investigation, issuing subpoenas with people who are prepared, not Dr. Zucker, who doesn't have any answers for anybody. The commissioner, when he was asked all these questions, and he said, wait a second, this hearing is about nursing homes. How do you not have all this information in front of you? We're going to have a real hearing on that, of course, but more importantly, to this issue, we should have hearings to see what the heck are they doing with all of that money that they surcharge us for. And, you know, being in politics and sending out mail, public mail, or sending out campaign mail, that was essentially a campaign mail piece that we just got right as the storm was hitting from PSEG, sent out all of Long Island. I bet that expense was well over $100,000 to just send a postcard to basically every ratepayer and saying, we're ready for you, and just a little puff piece to make them look good, because this stuff is not cheap. Even if you send it out at 4 or 5 cents a piece, you're sending out several hundred thousand of them. That adds up quick. So they're using our taxpayer dollars to send out a puff piece mailer, but they're not ready to even have their communication systems handle all these phone calls where people can't even get in by email or phone call. That's the most infuriating part. So I expect that when things calm down a little bit, we're going to be able to put together some hearings and try and get to the bottom of it so that this never happens again. You know, it's not about pointing fingers and scoring political points. Bottom line is, this is just ridiculous. For the amount that we pay relative to the rest of the country for utilities, they can't get this even close to right. Unacceptable.
And I say, you know, everybody wants to have the heads of Tom Falcone, of LIPA, and Dan Ikorn of PSEG, and that's all well and good. I mean, they failed as leaders. But I'll tell you something else, and he's not exempt from this. I hate to say it, but I'm going to put it upon him, Andrew Cuomo. He manages these utilities. We saw what he did as far as coming down hard on National Grid, okay? The moratorium, the gas, and everything else. But let's not forget here, he doesn't get a pass here. I'm not giving him a pass because he oversees these utilities, okay? So everybody has to have their checks and balances in here during hurricane season, June 1. Okay, everybody has to have that in place. Let's be clear here. Okay, let's be clear here. You know, there was ample time here to fix. I was down here with this Cat 1 looking at me right in the face. What's pop? Right here. I'm going to tell you right now. She broke up, hugged the coast, the Carolinas. Trop turned into a Cat 1. It went from a Cat 1 to a Trop, back into a Cat 1 in the Carolinas. Gained speed and momentum. At that point, who's checking on the storm? Everybody and your grandmother basically said it's heading to New York. So where are you at right there? The problem here also is not to give people passes. Governor does not get a free pass here. I'm sorry, he does not get a free pass. Your thoughts?
To that point, you know it's coming up the coast. Mobilize. If you have this slush fund, bring in reinforcements, just like we did at Hurricane Sandy. This isn't rocket science. It's very simple. We're going to need bodies. We're going to need trucks. We're going to need people. And instead of abusing their current workforce and making those poor people work 24 hours a day, bring in someone to help them. And that was really the problem. We didn't even have rain on the East End. We just had wind. And that's the problem. And look, as everyone knows, I know you know this, Jay, but your listeners may not, the Public Service Commission has all the authority to regulate and oversee PSEG. So the Public Service Commission are the ones who need to take the bull by the horns here and run and figure out what the problem is. And if we need to make a change, we need to make a change and get rid of them, because this is just inadequate. And again, many people were saying when this press release came out, because we were hearing from the people dealing with that as legislators, and you know, there were many people on, you know, making comments on Facebook and what have you, saying, "Oh, you just looking to score political points. They're an easy target." And I don't think those folks understood the magnitude of problems that we were dealing with early on in the week. And then they made all these promises, I think, because they were inundated with people outraged, saying, "What's going on? This wasn't even a real storm. It didn't feel like it. We had some wind. We get it. But come on, guys. This is crazy." And then as the days went on, time ticked by, they started to realize that everyone else began to feel it. But we felt it, you know, on the phone, because people were everywhere saying, "This is crazy." Did some people saying, "Look, it looks like this fuse just popped down the street. I know it feeds our entire area. If they could probably fix it in 10 minutes, we don't see any trees. You know, I'm no electrician, but, you know, what's going on?" So this is just, when it goes around and around, and really the buck needs to stop somewhere, is the bottom line. That the Public Service Commission, we should do this and have hearings ourselves and find out where the disconnect was, and excuse the pun, but where that disconnect was, and figure out how it will never happen again. Because, you know, this to some people, this was life-threatening. And as I said about my friends out east with their farm, it was threatening their livestock. Fortunately, they got turned on yesterday, so they were making do and, you know, buying water, doing whatever they could to just keep these animals from falling over. But, you know, this is something that the story isn't over. Is really the bottom line.
And I'll tell you this much, you make a good point. Public Service Commission, Assemblyman Palumbo, I'll tell you, make a good point, because John Rhodes is a disgrace, in my opinion, as the Commissioner of Public Service. You know, he has handled I never liked anything he has done, especially with all the time and efforts that I put into this New York American Water, and really did my research regarding everything involved with the Public Service Commission. He has done absolutely nothing for the residents still to this day. So I got very little faith in Mr. Rhodes, I'll tell you that much. Change should be made. Change should have been made long ago. Now, with that being said, I think automatically, right off the top, there should be a reimbursement going on here. There should also be some sort of compensation regarding food and spoilage, refrigeration. Without question, you have to put that in play. You have to. Sorry, you have to. What about the aspects of those two things?
Yeah, they do it in the city, you know. I believe if you're out for 48 hours, you get a $500 check. Why wouldn't they do that? people have lost at least $500 worth of food, I'm sure. That would make sense for now, just to show some good faith, you would think, because, we need to figure out what the heck did they do with all of that money for the, quote, storm preparedness. I mean, what else do they have to do? You know, when you think about this, up on the top, I mean, obviously, as I said, the everyday, the line workers, you know, they have their job and they're doing it well, but they just can't do it when you don't have the resources and you don't have the infrastructure that's appropriate. So burying the lines, as you said before, good idea. One-time big expense, but the overall savings over time will be huge. And I think a check or reimbursement almost to act as some sort of an insurance policy that, look, you guys failed us, and as a result, there certainly are significant losses. I think that's something that should be explored. That may get them at least to start paying better attention to it. And, you know, as far as the PSC, the Public Service Commission, I mean, I do have a significant problem with them as well. I mean, what are they doing? They're appointees, you know, these are the governor's people. And, you know, what do they do? We had internet issues, significant internet issues with COVID when it came to homeschooling. And what about that? You know, they were actually upping it. One of the local providers cranked up their prices in February or March. Like, how do you do that during a pandemic? When it's that important? Kids can't go to school without it. So, you know, this is what the PSC should be doing. This is what they're paid to do. And I'm just really concerned that, you know, if we don't see some real response here from them, then I think their true colors will be shown. And I think that something drastic needs to be done because, you know, that's all they're supposed to be doing is overseeing ratepayers and looking out for our interests. And I don't see any of that.
No, they're not. Roads has to go. You know what? You want to tell me that you need to make a change as far as Falcone? And even I hate to say it. You know, listen, you can't tell me power's on a certain day. It's still not on 48 hours later. Unacceptable. Sorry. There's some more problems here. You're not telling us the money aspect as well. You know, the $730 million, whatever the number is, it's astronomical. You know, you're putting money into the outage computers, the outage maps, which were useless. You put money into these new meters, like who cares at this point in time regarding meters when you can't even keep us on during a storm, not even of hurricane proportions. We're talking trop storm, okay? Trop storm. That's the problem here. Could you imagine if we had a Cat 1 here? Could you imagine if we had a Cat 1? This was not a Cat 1. This was a trop storm.
How about a Superstorm Sandy? A Category 5.
Haven't we learned?
4. We'd be out for
And haven't we learned, and I understand, you know, listen, LIPA was out in 14. Here comes PSEG. Have we not learned anything in 6 years? Have we not learned anything? It's like, you know, to me, it's on the lines of the railroad. The antiquated nature of it all, I'll tell you. It's hard to believe. With all the tech and everything involved these days, we have such an antiquated system of how we do things. It's unbelievable. It really is. And yet, you don't want to know? Third, number three, might even be higher. Third utility in the nation as far as the rates, okay, as far as charging the numbers. It's a fact. California is higher. Hawaii, I believe, in California. Only usurp what we pay on Long Island for these rates. It's just unacceptable. So we'll see what happens. Big day today. Let's get everybody on. Now, before we let you go, sir, give me your take as far as the governor's announcement of opening those schools. There's still a lot of work to be done. Health department, you know my biggest problem here, Tony? I'll tell you, my biggest problem is this Department of Health because they have shown to be useless during the pandemic. We know that. Dr. Deer in the headlights, Howard Zucker, you know that, okay? So that's number one. Number two, maybe too much emphasis decision-wise for the teachers. Taylor Law comes into play for me. I get it. You have an underlying condition. You're exempt. No questions asked. But I think it was the right move. You got to open up these schools. The numbers are low here on the island. Give me your take.
Well, I'd like, and, you know, I'm certainly happy to call the governor out whenever I feel that he's doing something that's not well thought out. I like the fact that we're allowing local control. The health department seems to be arbitrarily enforcing some of their COVID issues or some of the social distancing, and they're making examples of restaurants. So I'm not thrilled with the health department either, generally, when it comes to that. But I like the fact that we can have local control, that you should be able to not be under the thumb of the emperor now, who's got total control of the state. It should be appropriate to your area. And whatever the local schools decide, they're the ones on the ground. And we're doing hybrids in many schools. We're doing it out by me. And that makes sense, that we just say, look, you need to feel it out. We need to do it slowly and carefully. And, you know, the exemptions are a no-brainer, that absolutely, if there's any concern, you can't force the kid to go to school, or even the teacher, for that matter, to go to school and have to put themselves at risk. That is unacceptable as well. So, you know, I think the bottom line is that this was the smart answer, is to let our local schools do what they need to do. We do need to get back to school. I think the kids need to learn. They need that environment, but we need to do it safely and smartly. You know, this is a temporary thing. There are three companies now that are already in human trials for vaccines. We're getting there, and there's really good news coming. So I think that this, at least the first half of the school year, is still going to be awkward. But we need to do our best to get kids back to a normal environment. And more importantly, for as far as life is concerned, you know, this the younger kids, we can't have parents staying home when they need to try and get back to business and keep their businesses afloat. You know, we're small business central on the island. We don't have these huge conglomerates that can just continue to throw money at a pandemic like this. We have many, many businesses that are never going to open again. I don't think most of our gyms will open again. Because they're still closed, obviously, and bowling alleys and all these other really small businesses, or relatively small businesses, I think they're in huge trouble. So we need to figure out a way that, one, the kids can safely get back to school, but not every parent and family can homeschool, because that will further put them in the hole and really bury them eventually, to the extent that, you know, the financial crisis will put them under. So there's a balance there that needs to be struck. I think each district can, you know, feel out their own way of doing things, but, you know, we're getting there. So trying to be as hopeful as we can, local control is absolutely the way to go. I agree with it. And we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed and pray for that vaccine.
No question. That's the game changer. And you brought it up, and I'll ask you this final thing, because, you know, we had the head of the coalition regarding these gyms, you know, a guy who had a couple of locations here on the island. I went in front of the governor's offices last week with other gym owners. It's almost the forgotten Home Alone kid, so to speak, where everybody else is enjoying themselves except young Kevin, who is left alone here. The problem with these gyms is there's plenty of businesses, but no one said anything. So when do you expect something to come down the pike regarding gyms? They are an essential business, at least on my head, as my mindset. They are essential. Every business to me is essential. But gyms play a big role, especially during a crisis period. You can do so safely, I've said all along, but I haven't heard anything. You want to tell me movie theaters? Okay. Listen, Senator John Brooks on with me last week. He's trying to get bowling alleys open. I mean, if we're talking bowling alleys, can't we talk gyms? What do you think we're at with this?
Right. We actually had Joe DiStefano, one of his employees' daughter is a scholarship-earned bowler. And we had a press conference several weeks ago, about a month ago, with bowling alleys. And they explained all the protocols. Everyone has their own equipment. They've got infrared things to clean the shoes, if you're going to use their shoes, but they've got separate lanes. They can socially distance. As strange as it sounds, you figure you're rubbing your hands all over the ball. But they had all these protocols in place. That's all it is. So why are all these other businesses allowed to open? And that's what I don't get. We've been able to socially distance in liquor stores, according to the governor, and big box stores, Walmarts and Targets, since day one. They've never closed. Why can't they have at least limited services at gyms? Doesn't make sense to me. I sent him a letter 3 weeks ago. I said, Governor, think about some protocols where they, I understand everybody uses the same machine, they're sweating on treadmills, whatever it may be, but I have a gym near us on the North Fork. A friend's wife has it, and she's crying to me because they can't open. They can do yoga. They can do all kinds of different activities smartly and safely, but they're not letting them do anything. So they need to do something to at least pay an electric bill. And this is really what is of significant concern to me. Again, it just seems so arbitrary that whatever the governor seems to think is correct in his mind is the only thing that we can do now. There's no legislative power. He's doing everything by executive order. And now phase four could last another 6 months, at least could last another year. And all these other businesses will be closed and out of business. So I don't really get it. But it's something that you can implement certain protocols that will be specific to that business, and it'll be specific activities that can be done safely. And I think that's good. The mental health of our constituency is not good in a pandemic, and working out in a gym and sweating something out is certainly good for you. And you know that, Jay. I have to say you're in better shape than me, because I know that you're a gym rat. So I have to say that I'm sure it hurts you as well. Gyms closed.
Well, it does, because I had to put a couple of dumbbells in my garage. And by the way, I'm not talking about my kids. I set up a little bit of a mini gym. They're not listening now, so I can say that. But you know, the thing is, the problem is that you have a plan in place. You have a plan from these gym guys, Charles Casera, who's head of this coalition. With the two locations, Hicksville and Farmingdale, they got a plan. It's not like they don't have a plan. It's not like, you know, you walk in, his little hand sanitizer, go right to the bench press. No, that's not the way it works. They have a legitimate plan, an investment as far as the sanitization, everything else, temperature checks, even beyond that. It was fascinating to read. But yet, no comment, you know, and these guys are losing so much money. Their businesses will never be the same, if ever at all, when they're allowed to come back, even in the slightest proportions. That's what bothers the heck out of me. Sir, always a pleasure. You know that. And we will keep on top of this and have you back on soon. And appreciate your time this morning.
Certainly. Thank you, my friend. The pleasure was mine. You have a good week, Jay. Good to talk to you.